because there's really a lot that we don't know. And we have studies, we do a lot of studies, but you have to look at what are the studies, who were they done on? What were the parameters in those studies? So what were they holding constant? Like, I love these studies that are done. Like, I know now that there's a big study in the exercise space that women did blank for this many times a day or da 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 da, and look, this happened. I'm like, wait, but what about all the other factors? Were those ladies cooking better? Were they sleeping better? Were they managing stress?
I mean, that's the whole, it takes a portfolio of ingredients. It's like making a big stew, right? You have to have all the ingredients for your bones. And that's what women think, oh no, I'll just do the exercise. I don't have to worry about the food.
Welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I am Debbie Robinson, your host and guide on your Stronger Bones Lifestyle journey.
My next guest is Irma Jennings. She is an established osteoporosis patient navigator with over 13 years of specialized experience in bone health. As a holistic bone coach, she provides comprehensive, evidence-based education on bone health, ensuring her clients are well-informed about osteoporosis management. Irma excels in facilitating connections between her clients and bone doctors, offering support and advocacy during medical consultations. She expertly guides her clients to advanced DEXA facilities equipped with trabecular bone score technology, having their test read by a certified densitometrist, ensuring accurate bone health assessments. Look in the bio to contact Irma if you'd like more information about the services she offers. Hello, Irma. Welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I am looking so forward to speaking with you today.
Hello, Debbie. Good to be here with you. I have Skelly in the background just in case.
Yeah, I love that. Every time I think of you or I've seen you on videos or summits, that's what I see in the background. So
it's a skeleton that lives in us all. It's the foundation.
Yeah. And that's what we're all here about. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here about. That's what we are. Dare we say obsessed about, or rather just raising our awareness to the fact that that's inside of us and we need to do all we can to make it be as strong as it can be?
I think dare you say, are we obsessed, is a good approach. It's a center. It should be a focus of our health, especially as we go forward.
Yeah. And it does become that, right? So it becomes that when you get a diagnosis of osteoporosis or osteopenia, and something that we all have and all need to focus on. Okay, yeah. So let's jump right in. The first topic or question I'd like to discuss with you, or the first quote that you sent to me that I think is a great way to begin, is women don't know what they don't know. What does that mean?
As an osteoporosis navigator, this is what I have seen over the course of, I've been in the space for about 13 to 15 years. When they get a diagnosis, the reaction is always the same. That's impossible. How could this happen to me? I eat right. I exercise right. I do everything right. How could this possibly be? So that opens up that conversation about what don't you know that could be impacting your bones. And it could be a number of different things. So with the work that I do, I really try to help them understand that all these little things can be contributing factors for their diagnosis and looking for the root cause. And I know that you do that as well, Debbie. So we're on the same plane as far as let's find the source. And sometimes we can find it, sometimes we can't.
Right. And exactly. But if you don't find the source, then you're just looking in all the wrong places and looking out there, searching and, you know, grasping for straws is what I like to say, or taking shots in the dark. And do I need this supplement or that supplement, or should I get this or the shiny new objects? Do I do this? Do I do that? And there's a lot of information overload. So when it comes to information overload, where to get the information? What about Google? What happens when you Google?
All right. So here's my problem. Again, as an osteoporosis navigator, I go to client sessions with my clients. Whether or not it's on the phone or on telehealth, if the doctor is savvy enough to allow that to happen, when I say that, because they don't know the tools that it takes, or sometimes, most times it's in person. So the question is, As I sit there with the doctor and he's going through his spiel, I want to make sure that they are fully prepared to not only ask the right questions, but also to have all their information present. So what I mean by that is that if in fact they have DEXA done and DEXA is still the gold standard, we have a conversation that's bigger around DEXA and what that offers and the other alternative to Echolight, but let's focus on DEXA. If we go to our doctor and they don't know how to read a DEXA and they're doing, or the client, my client, their patient only has the two-page report and they're diagnosing from a two-page report, that's inappropriate. So we do need to get the full report. The full report shows so much more information that is very important for a doctor who is certified densitometrist who knows how to read DEXA and say, okay, here's the problem. I see on L4 or L2 or whatever it may be. So a doctor that really knows how to look at the DEXA. So I have my clients create a spreadsheet. So they have the DEXAs for 2 to 3 years, making sure there's the same test, same facility, same machine, and then they track it out over time. So it's a full report. When the doctors see that, they're like, oh my gosh, this is great. Now I can really help my patients. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. So that's really speaking about you as a osteoporosis patient navigator and why there's a need for that. I think that let's go back to where we began with you get that DEXA, you get the DEXA scan score, you have osteoporosis, osteopenia. Mm-hmm. That just opens up this whole questioning of what does this mean? And so then starts the Google searching, the information overload that's out there.
Right. And we're talking about Dr. Google. And one of the flaws is that there is so much competing and conflicting information out there. An error that I often hear is that my clients will say, I just found this on Google and I'm going to take this to my doctor. And I said, no, you're not going to do that because that's not going to help you along the way. And I want to go back because the Dr. Google thing is interesting and confusing. And then they say, I don't know what to do. So I'm on overload. So I say, listen to the people that really know what's going on, know what's a gimmick, know what's the shiny object. And when it comes to supplements, I get regular emails. What about this particular product? Or what about that particular product? I don't sell supplements. I look at them and say, are you dealing with your functional doctor? If you're dealing with your functional doctor and they know exactly what you're taking, because I don't know about your heart issue or your gallbladder issue or I don't know about those things, but we want to make sure that it's not just buying something at Whole Foods from the lady with the pink hair because it's an item on sale. We want to know if it really should fall into the whole program that they're taking.
Right. And so program and a team is really important here. So I actually do run functional labs and give supplement recommendations. And I get asked also the questions, I'm taking blank, what do you think? Or I'm taking this, what do you think? Or I heard this study that you shouldn't take this with this. And I'm like, really? Who knows? Who's inside the stomach looking for the competitive nature of these two supplements together? But they ask these questions all the time. And so yes, going on Google and searching, what I found with Google is that the top money sponsors are going to be listed first. So you almost always come up with the big players in the conventional medicine space. So you're getting information typically from the view of conventional medicine, which is typically here's a DEXA scan, it's osteoporosis, and then there's a pill for that because that's just, you know, where disease management system where yes. Here's the disease, here's the pill. So if we're searching on Google, we will often find, if you look at what sites you're going to have listed, they're quite often the same sites over and over that big pharma could be playing a role there. It's conventionally medicine based. So that's part of it. And then there's the aspect of when you go to your physician, what do you notice either when you're there with your clients or that they've mentioned to you? How do doctors react when a person says, I found this on Google?
No. My point is we want partnership. So when I find a doctor that's appropriate, that will actually talk to you as a person, not as an answer to a prescription, I want to make sure that partnership is enhanced. Well, what about you, Debbie? I mean, when you're challenged, how do you feel? Of course, if you have documentation to back it up, but if I come to you and say, oh, look, you know, Dr. Google says this, the reaction is, wait a minute, that doesn't help us. There are a couple of things that I do when somebody says, I did this research. I said, then go deeper. Then go deeper. It's your body, it's your bones. Go deeper and look, and let's see if there's really science behind it. That's one thing. But the whole idea about a partnership that you can go to your doctor, you know, it's finding the right doctor that will have this bigger conversation with you. That's key. And that's why it's difficult to find these kinds of doctors. So I'm going to quote a recent situation. This woman said to me, I absolutely don't want to take medication. No medication, no medication. I said, okay, let's go. Let's go in that direction. Let's see what needs to be done. Get me your DEXA test. She can't get it. She can't get the full report. That's the first problem. And as a result of that, she sort of gives up. And she says, you know, I was referred to this other doctor by a very good friend of mine. And she went and she's on medication now. I said, okay, are you happy with that? Is that where you wanted to go? Or were you convinced? Were you feared into? Here's your script. And that's often what happens because it feels somewhat like a full-time job. But I really take that burden off of them because I do the heavy lifting around it. So I get them prepared. I educate them. I help them to really understand the right questions to ask. And also, I mean, when I'm there with a patient and we're my client and they're talking to the doctor, I want to know what they know. It's not just what the client wants to know. I want to know what they know. So how deeply do you know this? Everybody has a different opinion. Everybody has a different opinion. It's mind-boggling to me. I have gone to certain doctors that say collagen, it's all about vitamin C. Collagen is not the appropriate answer for bone health, right? And some people say, no, I want to take my collagen. Or they say, if I take my collagen, then I feel anxious. So then there's a conversation around that. You know, it's really, if I'm gleaning the information from this doctor because he's research oriented, it's a data point. It's not necessarily something that I have to act on right away, but I'm accumulating data.
Yeah. And I guess this brings, there's a couple of things that came up there for me. So individualized approach is important because totally. What's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. And that applies here as well. That was one thing you spoke about. The other thing is it's not combative or confrontational. Rather, information is queen. So let's learn as much as possible. And there are no two scenarios that are the same. And so that, you know, the more information you have, then you can go with your gut with what feels the best and have data and education to support those decisions.
Yeah, but even that, Debbie, it can be, if I have information to support this, but I got it off of Dr. Google, what I have my people do, and as I said, if they, this is the floating product, there's a new product out there called OsteoBoost. Have you heard about that one? That's going to get a lot of traffic. Anyway, I can't speak to the product itself, except for it's a vibrational plate. Excuse me, it's a belt that supposedly works on osteopenia. But I always push them to get more information. Let's work on this together. So it becomes a partnership with me to educate them. So it's not just Dr. Google. It's more in-depth work that I show them. Well, here's where it's inappropriate. Look at the information. The study is too small or whatever, but we come up with some information. And when you go to a doctor and you want to ask them about nutrition, an osteoporosis doctor, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's true because they're not trained that way.
They're not trained that way. They're not trained as Paul Miller, who is a tremendous doctor out in Colorado, said to me, Irma, never, ever ask a physician about nutrition. And I remind them, so don't go in with that kind of a question or this kind of question. Don't ask them about a particular supplement. See what they know, and we're collecting data.
Yeah. So back to that with all the studies, even some of the bigger things that are out in the osteoporosis space, some of the workout, either programs or locations, if you actually look at the studies that they're hanging their hat on, they are small studies or either outlier studies. And some cases really, I want to say don't make sense because you have to make sense of what the data is and what the studies are. And that's my big platform too is, well, we don't know what we don't know. but there's really a lot we don't know. And who's funding the study? What is the study? Was it done on mice and men? Was it done, you know, random places with people that have nothing in common with you? And how big are those studies? And how many, how, so when you're telling me about this OsteoBoost, I know nothing about it, but you know, we're all like all that vibration stuff and even yoga, we're using piezoelectricity, right? We're using that deformation of the cell membrane that causes the osteoblasts to look for protein and to look for minerals to build more tissue, where that's what is the mechanism. And we don't fully understand what that mechanism is. So you're going to get all these companies that are going to do studies. And the fact that you said it was more for osteopenia, well, that's probably because it's a much bigger market to market to, right? Osteopenia is a much larger section of bone issues than osteoporosis.
Yes, but what I understand is that was the FDA approval for osteopenia, but we don't need to go into that. But yes, that is the bigger argument. That is the bigger section of the market is women who have osteopenia.
Yeah, it's just question everything. I come to everything with a question. I tell women all the time, listen, I know a lot, and I'm going to, if I'm working with them privately, I'm going to give you so much information. But the big thing I want you to question, and I want you to look, what is, does that make sense to you? And to look for the sense in something, because mm-hmm. there's really a lot that we don't know. And we have studies, we do a lot of studies. But you have to look at what are the studies, who were they done on? What were the parameters in those studies? So what were they holding constant? Like, I love these studies that are done. Like, I know now that there's a big study in the exercise space that women did blank for this many times a day or da 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 da, and look, this happened. I'm like, wait, but what about all the other factors? Were those ladies cooking better? Were they sleeping better? Were they managing stress?
I mean, that's the whole, it takes a portfolio of ingredients. It's like making a big stew, right? You have to have all the ingredients for your bones. And that's what women think. Oh no, I'll just do the exercise. I don't have to worry about the food. It's like my friends who all went on Lipitor, but they're eating a brie, you know, a wheel of brie cheese. It's like, no, you're not supposed to do that. You have to change. You have to change your whole approach. And it takes so many different ingredients to look at bone health, for sure. And one of the major problems that my ladies have is that they're unhappy with their life. So things have to change and they don't want to change.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know if I've looked at it from that angle, that they're unhappy with their life, although I definitely can see that. What I find showing up in life is trauma and stress of life. So whether it was childhood, you know, in yoga, we call it your karmic suitcase. Like, what did you come into this lifetime with? Who are you? Who did you come through? What did you have to experience in life to get you to where you are today? Are you standing up for yourself? Are you asking for what you need? Are you giving yourself what you need? Are you taking care of everyone else except for yourself?
But I want to interrupt you for a second, though, because that really opens up a bigger conversation why women need to be in community. When we hear other women say, I don't know, my son is doing this, making me crazy, or my husband, or whatever it is, and I'm on the brink of a significant change in my life. And then they hear from others how that's just, you can't survive these big changes. I think women in community, and I can say this from my bone tribe, that I've had my bone tribe since 2017. I've seen people go through divorce. I've seen people lose their spouse, their children, their parents. And that's, you know, we hold them collectively in the space of like, we're going to get through this. But when you have that feeling of partnership within your community, boy, is that's so positive. And so many women are going through this all alone. Whether or not it's the diagnosis of like, now I have to move, wait, I can't afford this, or what's going on. And it's like, all right, let's take it one step at a time. Let's slow down. Slow down. Everything is doable.
Yeah, because stress plays such a major role. You know, they say 80 to 90% of all illness, and we see that word stress. We don't always understand what that means. Oh, it could be chronic. It could be big. It could be little. It could be a slow leak in the background. And all of that is going to contribute to imbalance internally, which leads to bone loss. So yeah, I see. And I'm so crazy that we're even going into this stress place, but it was something that you said that kind of brought that up. But that diagnosis, if you start from that diagnosis, and I just had a conversation with a woman this morning, newly diagnosed at 65, and she said, why are they not testing earlier? And I said, well, Medicare recommends a DEXA at 65. She goes, there should have been a baseline. I should have known that I was on this road to osteoporosis. And she's only negative 2.5, you know, on a DEXA, which, you know, has a margin of error on either side. And she said, her doctor said, here's the Fosamax prescription. Well, dang. This is a woman with lifelong gut issues. So somebody who's got very symptomatic and GERD and on PPIs and all this other stuff. No, that's not the answer. Well, we could talk about medication in a second, but that right. was all she was given. And then the next, she said, well, I want to see an endocrinologist. She goes to her endocrinologist, Fosamax. That because I said to her, that's the only tool in their toolbox. We have a broken system. It's disease management. It's not their fault. It's the training. Here's mm-hmm. the disease. Here's the pill. They're not trained right. in nutrition. And this is where you come in as a patient navigator. It's where I come in as a functional health coach, having a customized approach on all the levels of everything that you need.
Amen. Amen. That's all I can say to that. The one thing that lingers for me is when women are transitioning through whatever phase of life, the other thing that I do is I find them a therapist or make a recommendation, or we talk about the importance of that again so they don't feel alone. So to me as a navigator, it's the whole pie of what is the need? What is the need? And I can answer that need. I look at life as a big jigsaw puzzle. It's like, oh, I got to put these pieces together. I'm going to just find the right piece that goes here for that person. And that's going to make me, that's my joy, to make that person's life that much easier.
Yeah, I look at it like a journey, like a road, and we come to forks over and over. We could be on the same road over and over and see the same boring things over and over, or we could be brave. Like the word brave has really come up for me lately. Mm-hmm. I'm reading a book called Brave Thinking, but I think it's Mary Morrissey, which is fantastic. Just mm-hmm. understanding how one of the most profound things that was said in this book is, do you know, Irma, that everything that's created, it's the second creation. Everything is created twice. Mm-hmm. So everything that's been created is actually created twice.
Yeah. Well, that goes into repeating that story, the Groundhog Day aspect of life. And are we brave enough to rewrite our story?
Yeah. So this, everything that comes up twice, like I right away, Ray went to like Noah's Ark stories and thinking about like, you know, animals in twos and all that. But what she said was, she has a whole journey as to how she learned all this, but everything is created twice because it first starts as a thought. Yeah. So it first starts like anything that's been created, right? The Tesla that's created started as a thought. Light bulbs that was created was started as a thought. Like, wow, I wish I had a this or da 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 da. So we all can create a new life. And even if you think about the skeleton, now I've tried to find really great data on this, and I think it's a little iffy. They say potentially every 7 to 10 years, we potentially could have all new bone cells. So technically a new skeleton. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's kind of iffy because what does that mean? And maybe this bone over here is 10 years. So, but
I remember asking Keith McCormick that question. I said, so in 10 years time, I could wake up and say, oh, I have a new skeleton. He's like, no, Irma, it doesn't happen like that. It evolves over time.
But the fact is it evolves, right? So you've got, mm-hmm. and this is why some of the bisphosphonates, they're trying to stop the mechanism of cleanup. Not just like it is dissolving bones, but bone loss is also a good thing when it's cleaning up, right? Getting rid of the old for the new. So the fact that everything is created twice, that the whole mindset piece. So when you're speaking about going to therapy as a one of the aspects of your bone health, I'm a yoga therapist. So I work a lot with stress and stress management and teach certain techniques or even mindset or recommend books that can help with mindset. But yeah, that's another pillar to all of this. It's not just mm-hmm. here's this result, go to your doctor or research what you research, which is mostly going to be the same top companies are going to come up over and over and over with the same stuff. And then you're going to start to see all the marketing of here's this shiny object and here's this supplement and here's this exercise program and here's this thing and you need a weighted vest and you need a da 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 da.
Is the marketing ahead of the science, right?
Oh, that's a great quote. Is the marketing ahead of the science? Probably going to be the name of this podcast. Because yes, it is. And that's what you need to open your eyes. Let's make that the next podcast episode. Watch out for the marketing gimmicks when it comes to bone health.
Yeah.
Because you still need to eat the right things and not eat the wrong things. You still need to think the right thoughts, get rid of the bad thoughts. You need to move the right way and get up off the sofa and move. So you're still going to need to do all those things regardless of all the other shiny objects that you try to
But when we think about the demographics of how many people are going to be turning 65 this year? I was reading a statistic. It's 4.1 million will be turning 65 this year. It's 11,000 a day. It's a lot of people. So that typically are in that space of, oh my gosh, now I have to go for my DEXA, which opens up that whole can of worms about why are we waiting so long? And there are people in the pushing that whole aspect of let's get it sooner. I listen to these doctors that are trying. It's very challenging. It's not like, oh, they're manipulating this. The insurance companies really, they play a huge role. And that's what opens up the conversation about the Echolight as let's get that as a baseline. If we can't get the DEXA, let's get the Echolight, which is an ultrasound view of the spine and the hips. And let's see from that point of view. So one of the problems that I see, Debbie, is that people who have great DEXAs and then they go for, God forbid, surgery, back surgery, and then the surgeon gets in there, is like, uh-oh, oh no, this is not what I thought it was, the condition of the bone. So one of the things that I, with that newfound information from that recent situation, is that I tell my people, if you're going for any kind of surgery, God forbid, some people do have to do that. Let's make sure that you have the proper information, that your surgeon knows your bones, right? Not just a DEXA report. We have to look much bigger than that. And that's where the impetus from the surgeons are coming forward with the Echolight. So we have Andrew Bush in North Carolina and Dr. Zambito in Pennsylvania. And there are a couple of different locations around the country that some of the surgeons are doing this work. That's a good thing. It's another data point.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of podcasts on that, and I interviewed a spinal surgeon, and that's one of the things he said is that he was so disillusioned with the DEXA scan not correlating to the actual bones of the patient. And he would go in to do the surgery, and it looked like she had a really tough bones on a DEXA scan. And then he goes in there, and he can't even get a screw or a plate to stick. Her bones are all soft. Or he would see someone that said they had a terrible bones, and he's opening up, did spinal surgery, goes in there, and she has beautiful bones, takes a screw or a plate really nicely. So he, for years, saw that there really wasn't that correlation of what the DEXA scan results were and him actually going in to the spine itself to see that. So that's one thing. If anyone listening can look into REMS, the ultrasound, sometimes also known as Echolight, which is the company that began the whole, I think the whole process or came up with this technology. So that's one thing. So let's talk about medication, because that's another thing as well. And we have said a lot about medication, and it is the only tool in the toolbox for the doctors. The new added tool they're adding now is take vitamin D and calcium. I'm not even telling you which form of calcium would be better to take. But so that would be next. But let's just talk about medication, because that is more often than not the recommendation from the physicians.
I will have to tell you that that's not always the case. On the calls that I've been on, the visits that I've had, I had one client that went in and she was so nervous and I had all of her paperwork in order and they said, well, we don't have a CTX. I said, yes, we do. Here's the CT. I don't have P1. Yes, we do. Here's the P1. I had all the information. And he said, all right. And she said, I'm feeling a little kyphotic. And he said, okay, let's do an X-ray. He's a surgeon, so he could do that. And he said, you're good. So initially he said, how come you're not on medication for this particular client? And she went like, oh no, I don't want to go on medication. He came back in, ran the fracs, did a bunch of different scenarios and said, you're good. Let's come back and see me in a year. I have been on calls with doctors where they don't push medication. So that's a little bit of a myth. And I just want to debunk that because it's a bigger conversation. And if they do say go on medication, I mean, then we have to explore what are the side effects. And then what I typically do, so the latest sequencing is to go on, depending on the severity of your osteoporosis or if you fractured. If you fractured, then they're going to put you on an anabolic. And if you're on an anabolic, there are so many layers to that. First of all, there are the side effects, and then there's the insurance reimbursement, which is very difficult. So some doctors know how to work it, some doctors don't. But I will then, depending on the drug that they've been introduced as a possibility, I will ask them if they want to talk to another member of my community who has been on that to see what it's like, see what the side effects. Of course, we're all different, but people will share, and that's That's another reason why it's important to be in community. So the bone medication, if it comes down to that, it's a conversation that they have to decide. The individual client, I can't say, oh, no, don't do that. I can't do that. But I will tell you that when I was diagnosed in my 50s with osteopenia, I was given my script for Fosamax. And I said to myself, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And at that time, if I had, that was when Fosamax, you were on Fosamax for 10, 15 years, and you know, you're good. And they weren't checking you regularly. Now, Fosamax has been a real godsend for a lot of people. I'm just saying, as far as their progress and their bone strength, it's worked for some people. That's all I can say about that. I want to get the best information and help them make the right decision. That's the key thing that's important. That they really understand how Tymlos is different than Forteo and Evenity and how long it's been out there and what are the side effects, what about heart disease, and then the four or five different bisphosphonates and what are the side effects of that and Prolia. And so I have a pretty comprehensive sheet on that we work through together and say, okay, here are the pros and cons, and then we have to decide.
Yeah, because I think so, just for educational purposes, the bisphosphonates are typically stopping the bone loss aspect of the cells. Yeah. And the word anabolic is building. So that's usually trying to stimulate bone growth. And those medications have only been, I don't know how many years those have been in the market, but that's a newer medication. The bisphosphonates were the first class that came out.
But I will say this about that. Forteo has been around a bit because Keith McCormick took it in his 40s and he's 69. So I don't know if it's been 20 years, but it seems. But so some of them have been around longer. Tymlos is relatively new. Evenity is the latest one. That's the new kid on the block.
Yeah. And so when I think about meeting with women and what they've been recommended, and then there's costs, right? And then there's administration. So you're either taking a pill. So a lot of the bisphosphonates are oral. And because I specialize in bone health and gut health and that intricate link between the two, if you have gut issues or symptomology, it's very hard to take one of those medications because it can exacerbate some of the symptomology you've been struggling with to begin with.
And that's why a lot of women go with reclass, because it's a 1-year shot and that bypasses the whole swallowing esophagus issue, GERD issue. But that's not the answer. The answer is, why do you have that? Right. And that's where your work is important, where a conversation is important, because people will say, oh, I have silent GERD. It's like, whoa, you have that. Let's make sure we deal with that appropriately. And that's where I'll find a functional doctor that will specialize or work with them around their food and their supplementation.
Yeah. So in some ways, if I think about our conversation, I think about we've opened up a can of worms in a way, and we've kind of showed through our discussion how many angles there are to so many aspects.
Yeah.
But that's important because that is what exists out there. What every person is different. That's why my approach of running functional labs, I individualize, customize my approach for every person, as do you. So I'm running functional labs, looking at gut health and putting together dietary recommendations, supplement recommendations. You're also looking at that approach when you're taking in all the labs that people have run, looking at the DEXA scans, putting it all together. So like back to this whole analogy of the body being like a puzzle and all these different pieces, you've got to find what are all the missing pieces. You know, my functional labs are looking deep at dysfunction internally, or I like to say internal imbalances that lead to bone loss. You're looking at all the data points that somebody could actually have to make a really informed decision. And maybe that decision sometimes would be a medication. And if it is going to be a medication, then you can share the information of which would be best, what are the side effects, when we talk about neuromedications, how much research is there behind this? And what do we really know about that one and what it will eventually do or not do? So,
well, you know, I mean, I want to say something about that because I'm part of a doctor's group where 125 doctors come together once a week, and it's very, very informative as far as their approach and learning about medication and learning about side effects. And it's such a complicated diagnosis, osteoporosis. And it's not just, oh, here's your Dex and here's your script. I mean, there is within this community of bone doctors, these are well-known bone doctors in the osteoporosis space. They dig deep. They dig deep into the case study, and they all have opinions on information. It's informative. But going back to your point, Debbie, is that I want them to have the information again so they can have a conversation from a place, not of fear, but a place of an educated and make an educated decision. So there are, I have clients, I have one client in particular that I'm thinking about. She was put on the wrong medication. She continues to fracture. So I said, we have to change it. We got to do something about that. So I brought her in. We had another conversation with another doctor. And now she has to do the dirty work. She's got to go back to her endocrinologist, who's not very responsive. It's like, let's find another doctor. And sometimes people don't want to do that. They're like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Yeah, you can. You can. Now, it's becoming more and more difficult in certain systems to jump around, but it's, you know, it's our body, it's our bones, it's our life, and we have to do what we have to do. So I want to empower people to make the right decision. Like, no, this is not working for me.
Yeah, your body, your bones, your life. And of course, respect physicians. We want to respect our doctors, yet we want to have someone that also will work in partnership with us. And if you know in your gut that you don't want to take a medication, but that physician, the only thing that they're going to recommend is that, then maybe you're right. It's time for a new physician. Or maybe there is a open line of communication where you can ask questions that will maybe get the doctor to think on a different path.
Right, right. That they know. Not out of fear, out of knowledge.
Yeah. One lady I was speaking to recently, she said, my doctor was trying to put me on these medications. And I'm like, she goes, we're friends. Like, I know this physician. He's known me for so long. And she said to him, you know me, like you should know that I'm like this. Yet that was, she was so disappointed that that was the conversation and that it wasn't what she wanted. And I guess that's a good word here, is disappointed, that, you know, we're disempowered, that here's the medication without any other, you know, inquiry. But if the person doesn't know, then they don't know. If the physician doesn't know. And this is why I think you being that patient navigator, and even the fact that you mentioned the one scenario with the physician where they said, oh, here's the DEXA. No, we need the medication. And then you said, wait, here's this test and here's this test and here's the DEXAs from the last 8 years. And then there was a bigger picture, more data points, more puzzle pieces that, maybe Sally can wait a little while. Maybe we don't need medication yet.
And in all fairness, when women go into the office like, I'm not doing that, you know, with that kind of an attitude versus, whoa, no, we're going to see what information we can glean from here. It's very important because we have to understand the squeeze play of the doctors. They have so little time to make a decision. Let's make it easy for them. Let's give them all the information that I know they need to make a sound decision. And let's not jump at the decision right away. Let's talk this through, the decision or the outcome. But when a doctor has half an hour, 15 minutes or half an hour, it's very hard. I mean, how long does it take when you work with your clients? How long are you with them?
Oh, well, I mean, my first session giving them results of their labs were on for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the other ones after an hour. And you mentioned this earlier today in our discussion that when someone asks you something or presents something, you actually go and research it. And that's how I am too. So it's not that 10-minute slot or 5-minute slot. We're actually taking time out and hours to get to know who is this person.
Hours.
Yes. Yeah, hours. It is. I know it's a long time. And because we have the background that we have, we do come with a lot of information. So we have a base to pull from of information, and then who's the person in front of us to then make it a little bit more custom. And I think that's important. And unfortunately, not covered by insurance. So you're having to, when they work with me, they have to, you know, pay for functional labs and then all of the work that we do with our clients. Yet, I know for you, you have tremendous results. I know for myself, I do as well. And it's really important that you have somebody on your side.
I agree. And I want to say, and I think that this is one of our driving messages, is that I had a 23-year career on Wall Street. It was a dominated, male-dominated world. It was in the 70s to the 90s, and it was a ridiculous time. However, there was a whisper of fear that I'm not good enough. I don't want women to have that. I don't want them to carry that. When they're standing before a doctor and he happens to have a white coat on, I want to break down that whole cachet of, no, that's just an outfit, just like your outfit, right? We're going to work together on this and we're going to break down. No fear. We're not going to have any fear. So I want to empower women, just as you do, Debbie, empower women to take charge, to ask the right questions in a concise way. Don't bring a book in. I'm going to bring this book. How many people have said to me, I'm going to bring in Great Bones by Keith McCormick. I said, don't do it. Let's just have a conversation with the doctor. Let's not make the doctor feel like they know less than they do. They know a lot of information.
Yeah, because it's a setup, right? When you come in, like you said, fold your arms and have a conversation with someone and see how receptive they are. Okay, the new term that I just thought with that, go into your doctor's office with brave respect.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Irma, let's have more conversations. This one will end here for now. Lots of great wisdom was shared today. Everybody, I believe, needs an osteoporosis patient navigator named Irma, unless others pop up and be informed and get data points. So the more information you have, the better decision you can make.
True. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom with us.
Appreciate your voice and your stillness. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. Bone loss is not an inevitable part of aging. We don't have to just wait for it to happen. There is so much that you can do. And that is what you will learn each week on the show. Go to my website, debbierobinson.com, if you want more information about what was shared in today's episode. At the bottom of this episode in the show notes, there will be links to whatever was shared. Please subscribe to this podcast. Share this podcast with your friends, your family, or any women that you think may be interested or benefit from the information we're sharing. Please rate the podcast. And if you have any questions you'd like asked or answered, I would love to hear from you. Let's do this, ladies. Let's change the way the world views osteoporosis and slow down, stop, or reverse our bone loss, take charge, and show other ladies what is possible. Thank you so much for joining me.